Welcome to the Cassie Sobelton Show. This is a podcast focused on mind, body, and spirit wellness. I'm your host, Cassie Sobelton, a best-selling author, speaker, and wellness expert. You can find me online at cassiesobelton.com. Each week, we'll dive into a different wellness topic with a focus on teaching you how to achieve wellness realistically. No lofty goals, no over-the-top crazy diets. This is wellness for the real world. Just practical, easy suggestions and ways to improve your life. Thank you for listening. Now on to the show.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of a land.
Welcome to the Cassie Sobelton Show. This week we have Julie Feldman on. Julie is an MPH, Master in Public Health, and a registered dietitian. She's nationally recognized as a nutrition expert who has helped hundreds of Michiganders live a healthy life. With her realistic approach to weight loss, which we'll be discussing today, and well-being, Julie passionately motivates her audience to positively change their life. Julie's been featured numerous times on Fox 2, on 4, on 7, 20, ABC News in Detroit, and she comments nationally on behalf of the Coca-Cola Corporation, serves as a consultant to Hershey Corporation, and was the media representative for the Michigan Dietetic Association for several years. Julie also serves as a national speaker for the Mead Johnson Corporation, where she educates physicians, nurses, and fellow dietitians on the benefits of advanced infant formula. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you back. We spoke last time about kids' nutrition, and this time we're going to be talking a little bit about weight loss.
Perfect.
Yeah, I know often, people who just had children are going to be dealing with wanting to learn about weight loss, but actually the entire population is typically focused on this. And, unfortunately, they're usually going down the route of looking for that quick fix,
yes,
that pill or that diet that might be the new fad. I'm sure you deal with this a lot
all the
in
time.
Your practice. And you're probably having to deal with teaching people, outside of that and other ways to find their weight loss and their balance.
I do. It's a huge issue. I would say it's like the Dr. Oz mentality or even like the Amazon Prime society, which is I want it and I want it now.
Right.
Yeah. Or, Dr. Oz is constantly saying, oh, this supplement will do this or that.
Yep.
And the truth is that there's no quick fix. There's no easy route. There is no fast journey to creating wellness. You certainly know that. I always think of wellness as a puzzle with lots of different pieces. And, you might be an avid exerciser but eat like crap. Or you might eat great but not work out. Or you might eat well and work out but not drink enough water. And, there's so many different things.
Or have a lot of psychological issues.
You might, exactly. Yeah. You might be completely, a wreck with anxiety about all sorts of things, which really wreaks havoc, internally as well. So for us to achieve wellness, both individually and as a society, there are just so many different pieces that need to be touched on. And for the most part, I think the biggest problem is people aren't patient.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for something fast. And unfortunately, that doesn't work.
Yeah, yet it took them months, years, or decades to get where they are today. And they want to turn that around in a month to get to a certain event in a certain dress.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
And they're convinced that they can every day. All you have to do is turn on your TV or look on your Facebook news feed. It's full of take this powder, shake, supplement, pill.
Yep.
This is the latest, greatest. This is going to be the difference. So it's not that they're so naive. They're actually given a lot of information to say, yeah, you can totally lose 20 pounds in 4 weeks and keep it off.
Yeah. And there's the key, right? It is possible to lose 20 pounds in a month.
Sure.
It's typically not possible to keep it off.
Yeah. Do you know anybody that's ever?
I don't think I do.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. It doesn't happen. That's
right.
Why.
Yeah.
There's really good long-term case-controlled studies on weight loss that show that rapid weight loss does not create a maintained weight loss 5 years out.
Right. And, you talked about, pills and potions and powders and whatever else. Those things are great if they're good ingredients and they make your life easier. It's not that you have to go on them and have this 1 month diet of them. It drives me nuts when people want to do you know, a month of this or a month of that. It's like, why don't you just incorporate that into your life 3 days a week mm-hmm. and incorporate the next thing in occasionally? And if you have this toolkit of all these really great foods or maybe supplements that you're taking, that's wonderful, but they need to be usable in your life on a daily basis.
Sure.
And that's what can make up your full diet, your full life, you know.
Absolutely. Well, when we think of diet, we think of deprivation mm-hmm. typically. I really try to focus with my clients on not thinking about it from a deprivation or a restriction point of view, but more so, we have a lot of stuff that we need to get into your diet for you to be eating healthy. You know, if you focus all of your energy on making sure you're getting enough of what you need, there isn't a lot of room for the other stuff. Yeah. Not only that, but your cravings are much, much less, you know.
And they're different.
And the desire to overeat goes away. And people are like, oh, yeah, right. But then they do it for a few weeks and they're like, oh, my God, you were right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I've
wow,
never
you know
felt
what you're
like
talking
this.
About. Look at that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty fascinating. Educated people, I mean, you know, all socioeconomic groups, people who you would think would really understand what it took or what it meant to create wellness for themselves, really, we don't know because we're infiltrated with so much sort of junky information.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we had a conversation before and you were telling me about the two types of people that typically come to you.
Sure.
Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really think of weight loss or people who have become overweight sort of fit into one of two categories. And the first category is the person who was probably thin most of their life until adulthood and something happened. Either they got pregnant or they got a sedentary job or they had to, you know, whatever the case might be. And then they started to gain weight and now they want to take it off. And then the other sort of school of people are people who have spent their entire lives basically overweight, who never really remember a time where weight wasn't an issue for them, come from an overweight family, you know, genetics play a big part. And, you know, they were overweight 5-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And those people have, I would say, a tougher or more complex journey towards creating wellness than those who sort of just sort of lost their way.
Right. So people who have lost their way, that's typically a few quick appointments with you, maybe a meal plan or grocery store tour or whatever, and then they're back on track.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
How about the other set?
Yeah, that takes longer.
Well, go figure, right?
Yeah,
their whole life they've been dealing with this. And
their
so
whole life. So I always say that they have sort of this romance with food. And I put myself into that category as well. You know, I was an overweight kid. I was like,
we talked about this before.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
I was the same way.
Yeah. So I'm able to kind of put myself in the shoes of my clients. You know, I don't just talk about what I do. I practice what I preach hour by hour of each day. So
yeah.
I really can help. I feel like in that way sort of makes me, you know, and other people like me uniquely skilled at helping people kind of navigate through this process. But anyway, those people have to kind of deal with all of these issues that have been ingrained in their head, all of these messages. You know, I still can sort of hear the soundtrack of one pediatrician that saw me when I, and she's still in practice, when I was 10 years old, commenting about my weight, how she couldn't like feel my appendix or something like that.
Right.
And it like that type of thing scars you.
Yeah. I have a similar couple with my mom and my dad, both of them independently.
Uh-huh.
But I remember very, very well one thing that happened with both of them that for the rest of my life, it's there.
It's there.
And I mean, both of us are almost 40 years old and
yep.
we still remember these things that happened when we were young and everyone's dealing with that.
Yeah.
And how much are they medicating themselves with food
completely.
Because of those?
Yeah. So completely. So the common thread of humanity is that we all have pain. You know, we've all experienced things that are uncomfortable. We all have anxiety about certain things. And we all have fear. And those three things really tend to drive a lot of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And for most people who fit into that category where, you know, they've always been overweight, food's always been a thing for them, food is really a symptom. You know, it's never the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I meet with clients, we only talk about, I mean, we talk about food the first visit.
Of course.
For the whole hour because
yeah.
I need to sort of share with them my approach. And then subsequent visits have little to do with food.
Yep.
It's the why. It's not the what.
Yep.
Because people get the what. I mean, I can teach that to you in an hour.
Right. Well, everyone knows they should be eating their veggies. They should not be eating processed foods.
Of course
they
do.
Cut out the sugar. But they do it because something else is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. They do it because it's their way of dealing with their fear, pain, and anxiety.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comfort foods are called that for a reason.
For sure. And people do all sorts of things that are, you know, socially acceptable ways of managing those things, whether they work out a lot. You know, mm-hmm. people, we think, oh, that's awesome. You know, you're going to be an Ironman or you did a triathlon or you're, you know, going to ride your bike 500 miles.
Or by the way, in 20 years, you won't be able to walk because you've killed all your joints. But, yeah.
But that's, you know, that is also sort of overcompensating in what seems like a good, healthy way. But, you know, some people drink to excess. Some people do drugs. Some people smoke. Some people gamble. You know, there's all sorts of addictions or unhealthy ways that people tend to manage their fear, pain, and anxiety. Some people eat too much and some people don't eat.
Right.
You know, my conversations with my patients who are anorexic are the same conversation mm-hmm. as with my patients who need to lose 100 pounds.
Right.
It's the same conversation.
Yep.
They cite similar experiences from their childhood. It's pretty remarkable.
I bet.
So the overeating for a lot of people is really just a symptom of whatever else is going on. And I think that's really an important conversation to publicly have because we don't have it.
Right.
We hear a lot in the media about just overeating, calories in, calories out. I don't even have my clients who are losing weight count calories. We mm-hmm. do not count calories.
Smart.
We don't count, weigh, or measure anything,
mm-hmm.
in fact. There's something about doing those things that is inherently makes you feel bad about yourself. You're like, I've been a bad girl or I've been a bad boy, and now my punishment is that I need to count, weigh, and measure everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is you're not going to count, weigh, and measure everything for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're
maybe
not.
For a little while, and then people, yeah, it becomes too difficult to do. And
then it becomes a very short-term process where people are following a said program, let's say, for 2-3 months. And then nobody wants to do that anymore. People want to go out to eat. They want to be able to participate in other things that everybody else is doing.
Right.
And
they feel left out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they haven't necessarily been given any skills to handle all the fear, pain, and anxiety
right.
that has always existed.
So speaking of that,
yes.
I know, you know, my take on it would be let's teach people to meditate, other forms of stress reduction. Let's help them, of course, you know, find bonding with other people and really sharing and being vulnerable and those things. What's
your
take
for some people?
Yeah.
And some people will meditate. Some people journal. One of the things that I do with my clients is I have a pretty open door policy, or I should say open phone policy. So I allow texting between visits with my clients.
Nice.
So that they can reach out to me for a quick little I'm having a hard time, or can you make a suggestion about when I could get to eat tonight at such and such restaurant, or
nice.
Any little thing like that. And, you know, it takes me 10 seconds to respond, and that sort of quick positive feedback can be really a positive thing for people.
Mm-hmm.
It can kind of get them out of a rough time. I teach mindfulness.
Wonderful.
A lot of mindfulness.
And so can you explain what you teach?
Sure. So mindfulness is a practice of paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of different ways to be mindful. But in terms of food, sort of my quick, I'll give you my intro, which is, and I don't think it's a real thing. I just came up with it several years ago, but I just call it.
That makes it real.
That makes it real. The 2-hour rule, which is before you eat, you ask yourself, in 2 hours, is this still going to feel like a good choice to me? And most people just eat without thinking at all.
Mm-hmm.
You walk through the break room at work, you grab a handful of pretzels, and you walk out. You don't even think about it. Somebody
mm-hmm.
brings in birthday cake for somebody else in the office. You have a piece. You don't even think about it. You come home from work, you know, stuff sitting out on the kitchen counter. You start picking at it. You don't even think about it. So we really live in a mindless society.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to do is sort of bring attention to paying attention.
Right.
You know, I tell people the first 2 weeks, if you don't change anything about what you're doing eating-wise, just pay attention. Just notice things about yourself.
Right.
Yeah,
that's huge.
The 2-hour rule is really helpful. I love people, and I have some clients who say like a blessing or a prayer before
mm-hmm.
they eat. That's like the old school way of being mindful, right?
Yeah, right?
But it's the perfect thing where you actually pause, you acknowledge what it is that's in front of you.
Be thankful for it.
Be thankful, and you make a concerted choice to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like built-in mindfulness.
Yep.
And I'm not saying everybody has to say a prayer or a blessing, but if you can just sort of pause and say, yeah, you know what? This seems good to me right now.
Right.
And some choices that we wouldn't characteristically say are healthy will seem good 2 hours later. Like, it's my birthday and we're going to my favorite restaurant and I'm going to get my favorite dessert. And 2 hours after, I'm still going to be thinking, oh, that was so good.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus it's been a rough day at work and I just decided to go through the drive-thru on the way home. 2 hours later, that's not going to feel good to me.
Yeah.
So
that's it's a nice differentiation.
There. Yes. Yeah, I think it's really important because people say, am I never going to be able to eat this or that again?
Yeah.
And I always say, when you feel like you can choose something like that and feel good about it, then great.
Yep.
And at some point down the road, you might decide that you want something like that. And at some point down the road, you might decide that you don't.
Right.
Because you have really become accustomed to enjoying what it feels like to make better choices.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I went on a retreat, a Buddhist monastery in Murphy's, California. And
cool.
It was my first introduction to mindful eating. Mm. And what they did was they have this large room that was our kitchen, basically, or dining room. And there was a huge, long, almost like a pew, you know. And
yes.
You sat against the wall, and it was just a dark wood room. And everyone had one utensil. And they taught you that you had to, it was a silent retreat.
Yes.
But it was silent, of course, no interaction with other people. You would literally take one bite. You had to put your utensil down in between every single bite, completely chew and swallow, wait 30 seconds, pick your utensil up and start again. I don't know how much weight I lost that week. I was actually very fit at the time and probably didn't have much to lose, but I bet you I lost a few pounds. But more specifically, like tasting my food. Like, I kind of lost touch with tasting my food because it's talking and interacting 100%. And socializing and chewing and swallowing and not even thinking about it.
And people don't know what it means to feel satisfied.
Right.
They only eat to fullness, to
That's
like
right.
being stuffed.
Yep.
But nobody, very few people, I should say, are cued into what it feels like to eat to satisfaction,
That's
not
right.
to being stuffed.
And how much more quickly it happened on that retreat the way I was eating and the signal from the belly to the brain,
sure.
you know, came, what, it takes like, what, 10, 20 minutes for
yeah.
the belly to tell the brain it's full. When I was eating that slowly, it happened long before it would have. I would have gone through that entire thing,
uh-huh.
you know, otherwise.
In 2 seconds.
Exactly. In this way, I knew. I knew I was full. I was good. You know, I started taking lesser portions every single time because I wasn't finishing my portions,
yep.
which made me feel wasteful, and I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, a whole host of things happened to me on that retreat learning about mindful eating.
It is. It's pretty remarkable. I find that a lot of people who have been overweight for a long time deal with something, which usually this term is used for people who don't have enough money for food, but this idea that I talk about it as a food insecurity, which is just this idea like, if I don't eat everything right now, there might not be enough food ever, ever again.
Right.
And that's a really common way of thinking for so many people.
Well, and it's very ingrained from the days, you know, in our DNA from ancestors, you know, when actually that was the case.
Yeah.
You know, there might be hunting and you would get a huge meal and that might be it for a little while. So we had to gorge on it. It's no longer that way. Everywhere you go, there's food.
There's always food.
Always.
I mean, thankfully here
right.
where we live, there's
yep.
food around.
That's right.
So there's not a shortage. But I find that people do really well if they take a lot of food with them. So like if you mm-hmm. go to the office with a whole big bag of stuff and you know there's stuff there, you have a lower propensity to then start grabbing at things that you wouldn't normally choose.
Right.
Because there is this idea like, oh my God, I'm kind of hungry and I'm not going to be home for like 3 hours. And if I don't eat this candy that somebody brought in, you know, what's going to happen to me?
Right.
And obviously it's nothing's going to happen to you, but it's like a real feeling of fear almost
mm-hmm.
that if I don't eat now, like I might die.
Right. Well, that's very ingrained in us.
Yeah.
And to be able to break that, you know, and train ourselves that that's not the truth.
Yes.
You know, is probably a huge step in weight loss.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We were talking a little bit about addiction and foods and comfort foods. And do you think that the majority of people are addicted to food?
I think that the majority of people experience dramatic ups and downs in their blood sugar and in their insulin production that do sort of create that idea of being addicted.
Mm-hmm.
So when your blood sugar goes up real quick and comes down real quick within a half hour, you need more carbohydrate, you need more sugar. And so for a lot of people, that happens all day long
yep.
where you just keep
up and down. And
yeah,
up and
I mean, that's why we see so much type 2 diabetes now. I mean, it's and at younger and younger and younger ages in children, we're seeing the signs of type 2 diabetes. So, yes, I think it looks a lot like addiction.
And so to combat that, people can have fiber-rich foods.
So, yeah, so what grains. I teach is fiber and protein every single time you eat, healthy fats probably 3 times a day, and you're on a schedule. You have to eat breakfast, and then you have to eat every 3 to 4 hours after breakfast.
And so healthy fats 3 to 4 times a day, we're talking avocados.
Olive oil, avocados, nuts. Some nuts, some nut butter. That's, yeah, a little salad dressing, you know, a healthy type, you know, made with olive oil or canola oil.
Right.
Cooking with a little bit of oil.
Yep.
Sure. Avocado, nuts. Those are pretty much it.
Yep.
Fish.
Fish. Mm-hmm. I know you like your fish.
Yeah.
Tuna and salmon, right?
Tuna and salmon.
Yep. Yeah. I'm a tuna girl. I hate the taste of salmon.
You do?
I do. It's way too fishy for me, but I love tuna.
I live on salmon.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people like it. I know it's very healthy for you, but for some reason, my taste buds, it doesn't work for me.
So
I still try it.
Okay.
At least every 4 to 5 months.
Okay.
Because I know my taste buds have changed throughout my life.
Yes, they
do. So I'm like, let me try it. And I'm still, every single time, darn it. I haven't picked it up yet, but I'm going to keep trying it. No, it doesn't work for me.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm a sushi fan, so I always stick to tuna.
Yeah, all right.
But either way. So why don't you tell the listeners how they can find you?
Sure. So you can find me on my website, which is dietitianjuliefeldman.com. And dietitian doesn't have a C in it. It's all T's. D-I-E-T-I-T-I-A-N, dietitianjuliefeldman.com. And
In your book?
All my contact information is on the website.
And so your book, The Grocery Makeover, wonderful book to be able to make some small changes, big results.
Thank you.
And that's on Amazon, probably on your website as well.
The book is on Amazon, yep. And you can get a link to it on my website for sure. And the book sort of explains my general nutrition philosophy in the intro, the first few chapters. And then it goes very practically aisle by aisle through the grocery store with lots of tips on how to choose specific name brands that are great, and also, you know, how to apply that to new products because there's so many new products coming out all the time.
That's great. So as a recap, for weight loss, one of the best things you can do is deal with your fear, anxiety, and pain. As crazy as that sounds, that is what is driving our behavior.
Yes.
And so once we get down into that, finding a nutritionist, a dietitian, a health coach, someone to help you with that. Julie's available in the Detroit area. There's many available, I mean, throughout the United States. But that might be the key for most people. I really believe that.
I agree. And, you know, don't set yourself up to fail.
Right.
Don't go on some quick fix thing that creates this false sense of security
don't
for a short period of time and then gain all that weight back and feel lousy about yourself and mess up your metabolism. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
No.
Good point. Well, thank you for being here, Julie.
Thank
it's
you
always
for having
wonderful
me.
To have you. So we'll see you next week on the Cassie Sobelton Show. Thank you for listening to the Cassie Sobelton Show. I hope you heard at least one easy health upgrade on today's show that you can immediately implement into your life. Remember, over time, implementing small health upgrades will make a big difference in your health. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cassie Sobelton. For more information or to hire me as a speaker or wellness consultant, please visit cassiesobelton.com. See you next week. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you